financial assistance from listeners like you. To help WBAI continue this tradition, you can become a BAI buddy by giving a generous monthly donation of as little as $10. It's a safe, secure, and simple way to support your local station. To become a BAI buddy, go to give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org.
I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed. I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed.
You are tuned to Listener Sponsor Radio at WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the web at WBAI.org.
I wish they'd hurry up with that transmission. I want to go to bed.
I suggest that you reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
Hi, this is from Valley Forge, Berkshire, Sequoia. Valley Forge, Berkshire, Sequoia.
This is Tom Central. Channel open for Executive Order AUC-3423. Listen to this, boys.
I'm talking about it, and I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, talking about this. I saw something, they saw something. There was a lot of light. That's all I remember.
It's an invisible barrier. It keeps anyone from getting out. It's designed to keep me inside, but it keeps everyone else in too. I'm sorry.
I think there's no place to hide.
Consuelo, they're not human.
Whispers voicelessly. All who live must die.
The ice is gonna break! Thank you.
For the jazz soloist, it is my view that only the very greatest jazz musicians can sustain a solo for more than a minute or so.
It's time. It only happens once a week.
Night shift.
Night shift.
Now, where are my people?
Invisible.
And so sensual.
But you can
just a little bit unpleasant.
Feel it. Thank you. Listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York and on the web at WBAI.org. And this is Mike Sargent, and this is Night Shift, where life is like science fiction. Interesting lineup here. So let me tell you what's going to happen on tonight's show. We have a topic that I think is very timely. There's a new Dr. Doolittle movie coming out this week, and it's a fantasy about a man who can talk to animals. Meanwhile, in Australia, we now know that potentially 1.2 billion animals have died. So, the night shift question is this. There are all new advances in science, and we're just beginning to understand how animals and fish and mammals and creatures of the earth communicate. They have sophisticated methods of communication. We're just discovering some of them. But here's the question. If the animals could talk to us, what would they say? Fuldrum, welcome back, and welcome to the new studio. What do you think?
I love it.
Do you like the new studio?
Yes.
Well, we're here in the new studio. We have less space than we did before, but the space that we have here for the studio is better than ever before. And we have special guest star, Mike from Jersey.
Mike from Jersey.
Aloha.
Mike from Jersey. So how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, you're welcome.
And I love the studio.
You like the studio. You're
almost
digging,
too good.
Almost too good. It's almost
too
like
good for us.
Back
for sure.
at the old 120 Wall Street. It's where we really felt like we were a real radio station. We had real, you know, microphones and real headphones.
Studio and the headphones, the microphone.
Everything is nice here. So here's what's going to happen in the show. Like I said, that is the theme of the show, and there's quite a bit to cover. There's quite a bit going on. We're living in the surreality of it all. It's the end of the awards season, so we'll touch upon the Oscars and movies and just the intersection between fact and fiction. Before we do that, I do have a special announcement and a special interview here for a special event that's happening beginning this Thursday. And this is happening at the JCC, and they're launching a new film festival. It's called Cine Matters. It's the New York Social Justice Film Festival. It goes from the 16th to the 20th. And it's timed with Martin Luther King Day, so I'll be talking to more of the filmmakers. But the opening night film, which I have 5 pairs of tickets to.
Stop.
And yes, I do. 5 pairs of tickets, and there's the not only do you get to go to the movie, and you get to go to the Q&A, and you get to go to the after party and the whole event everything, but stars from the picture will be there. Jeffrey Wright will be there. Tim Blake Nelson will be there. Kelvin Harrison Jr. will be there. And the producer, the director of the film will be there, but the producer is an interesting woman of color in a time where the award season has really shown that though we're seeing work from these women, and there are female filmmakers who are actually getting films made, but they're not really getting acknowledged. So that's a whole thing. So I got to talk to Tanya Lewis Lee, who is a producer for well over 20 years now. Some people know her as being married to Spike Lee, but she, in her own right, has produced some amazing, amazing films. And she produced a film that is based on a book. It's based on a book by Walter Dean Myers, who some of you may know he's a great author, but he does a lot of speculative fiction as well. And he did a book in 1999. It was a best-selling novel called Monster, and it was about a young black teenager who is an honors student and an inspiring filmmaker who ends up getting charged with felony murder. And the entire book is done as a screenplay because it's the character trying to work out what's happening to him. And it's a really fascinating book. It's a great book. It's a great read and all that, but it's been made into a film starring Jennifer Hudson, Kelvin Harrison Jr., who was amazing in Waves and another great film this year. And Jennifer Ale, Jeffrey Wright, Tim Blake Nelson, and the film is now called All Rise, and it's going to begin this Thursday, or I say begin, it's going to premiere, it's the opening night film, this Thursday, January 16th at 7 p.m., with a Q&A and then an opening night reception. Like I said, stars will be there. So all you have to do, of course, if you want to get in, and I only have 5 pairs of tickets, and again, free, just you decide what you want to, you know, again, every week I'm going to try and encourage you to become a WBAI buddy in the name of Night Shift. So I'm giving away 5 pairs to the opening night festival. But I did do an interview with Tanya Lewis Lee and asked her about how she came across the book and her journey to making it and how she felt about what's going on right now. So I'm going to play that to you. But then we will get to the theme of the show. So, Mike from Jersey, have you ever read any Walter Dean Myers?
I haven't, to be honest.
Well, definitely, definitely a great writer. So, this is Tanya Lewis Lee, who is the producer of the film.
It sounds amazing.
It is amazing, I'm just telling you.
It's written as a screenplay.
Well, the book is, yes. And so now they've made it into a film, and it's called All Rise. And it's not out yet. It's not theatrically released. It's only here, part of this festival in town at the JCC, which is on 76 in Amsterdam. It's 334 Amsterdam Avenue. You can find out all that information. You can get tickets for all the other films that are happening at the festival. There are a lot of great things. But this film, opening night film, there's a reason why it's opening night film. So, this is my interview with Tanya Lewis Lee. would have been my interview with Tanya Leslie. if I had brought up, you know, it's still a new studio for me, so forgive me. So, and what I asked her was how she got involved with the project and what made her want to, you know, get involved with making, turning this great novel into a film.
It was about, I want to say back all the way to 2006. I had just finished working on producing a miniseries for Nickelodeon called Miracles Boys, which was based on a book by Jacqueline Woodson. And my producing partner on that project is a woman named Nikki Silver, who produced Reading Rainbow for many years and had several books that she was looking to adapt, and Monster was one of them. And after we finished Miracles Boys, she said to me, would you be interested in joining me on this journey? And I had read Monster and read it with my children. And the book, first of all, just from a literary piece of work, to have a book written as a screenplay, which is essentially the way this young man copes with his situation for young people, is so powerful, because books for young people of a certain age, some it's hard to get them to read. I have two grown children now, so I know the reality of trying to get especially young men to read, and to write it as a screenplay automatically brings you into another world. And then to do it in a story about a young man who finds himself on trial for his part, maybe in a robbery that goes wrong. To me, Monster was really... It spoke to me because it's about this young man with this wonderful family who lives in Harlem, goes to one of the best New York City schools, and yet has to deal with folks in his neighborhood who don't have the same opportunities that he does, and he trips up into a situation. And to me, Monster really speaks to, there but for the grace of God go I. I think any of us as young people could find ourselves tripped up in a situation the way our main character Steve Harmon does, but being a young black male makes the stakes even that much higher. Walter Dean Myers just wrote such an incredible book, and the idea of trying to adapt it for audiences to get the power of art, and also at the same time to be able to talk about the issues of mass incarceration, particularly of young black men, was an exciting challenge for me, for sure. I mean, we live in a country where slave owners still, their faces are still on our currency, right? We come from a country that really was built on the idea of people owning people and having them work for free to build this country. America couldn't be what it is without that free labor. You know, black men, black women, we were commodities. And unfortunately, we still are in this country. And you can look at the prison industrial complex and see how valuable we are to that. So I think that it's unfortunate that we as a people have lost a lot of our traditions. You know, you talk about the rite of passage to manhood. Certainly in African families, there are traditions for manhood that were disrupted when we were held in slavery. And so I think it's really hard. We're living in a situation where we're trying to be normal, but the system isn't set up for us to be that way. And so it's tough. But I think that here in 2020, I am optimistic. I think that we are gaining lots of knowledge about who we are as a people. And I'm hopeful that, you know, the more that we learn, you know, the more that we will grow.
We've been talking about young men, and this is clearly about a young man's journey. But I'm curious, as a woman and as a woman of color in this enormously male-dominated culture, society, and business and industry, what are your thoughts on how optimistic, I should say, are you about women having the power to make films and then being recognized, as we're coming to the end of the award season and women have been shut out so many times? Do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I do. It's tough. I look at Hollywood and storytelling in the grand scheme of things. I mean, it is a propaganda machine. We just talked about how it's a reflection of who we are and who we want to be. And I do think that the powers that be want to keep their position of power. And so it's very difficult to try to break through and make stories that for women and people of color, or by women and people of color. It's a struggle. And it's a money thing. It's a money game, too. And we need to, you know, really be able to find those funds from women and from people of color to support artists who are making those films. And I tend to be optimistic by nature. I don't think things are going to change overnight. You know, it's so interesting. You know, you with the Oscars, right, you have 1 year where you have lots of people of color, or maybe a few women, and then the next year, there's nothing. And I it's a tough thing, but I think that we need more people making more money who will invest more in people of color and in artists and women who are artists making these stories. And I think that will come.
The best time to cry is at night. Sometimes I feel like I have walked into the middle of a movie. Maybe I could make my own. I could write it out and play it in my head. Cut to Steve lying on his cot, soaked with sweat, trying to sleep. I could block out the scenes like we did in school. Cut to close-up of Steve looking away. I can hear myself thinking, trying to convince myself that everything is going to be all right. Maybe we are here because we lie to ourselves. This will be the story of my life. I'll call the movie what the lady called me.
Like I said, it'll be at the new film festival that's happening this Thursday. And if you make a pledge, and like I said, for any amount, you should be a BAI buddy. It could be for $10 and $10 a month, and as a BAI buddy, it could be $5 a month, whatever it is. Just make a pledge in the name of WBAI, in the name of Night Shift, and then email me with your information at lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com. You will be on the list. You will get a pair of tickets. So I think
you get two tickets.
Yes, you get a pair. You get two tickets.
Wow.
For any amount. To tell me that's
five cents.
That's correct.
Yes, got it.
So I think that's
fantastic.
Oh wait, you're on four now, aren't you? You moved to four. Is there you are?
Is that
on?
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
You're on four. Okay. Yes,
I think that's
so
amazing.
It is amazing. I have to say, I think that is amazing.
And you get to keep BAI on the air.
Yeah, and you do get to keep WBAI.
Even more important.
Yes, it is. So now. Let's get to the matter at hand, because there are so many things happening with animals right now that I have to say.
What is happening in the world, Mike? I don't really don't.
It life is like science fiction. That is what has happened.
Well, with everything you know, what? 2,000 languages.
I can't believe this. I live here now.
Hey, go up in the world. I'm proud of you.
Yo, come here, my sister!
Look at this creep.
Matthew, think what it would mean if I could talk to the animals. Just imagine it, chatting to a chimp in chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting to a cheetah. Oh, what a neat achievement that would be. If we could talk to the animals, learn their languages, maybe take an animal degree. I'd study elephant and eagle, buffalo and beagle, alligator, guinea pig, and flea. I would converse in polar bear and python. And I would curse in fluent kangaroo. If people asked me, can you speak rhinoceros? I'd say, of course. Can't you? conferred with our furry friends, man to animal. Think of the amazing repartee. If I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals, and they could talk to me. If I consulted with quadrupeds, think what fun we'd have asking over crocodiles for tea. Or maybe lunch with two or three lions, walruses or sea lions. What a lovely place the world would be. If I spoke slang to orangutans, the advantages any fool on earth could plainly see. Discussing Eastern art and dramas with intellectual llamas, that's a big step forward, you'll agree. I'd learn to speak in antelope and turtle. My Pekingese would be extremely good. If I were asked to sing in hippopotamus, I'd say winotamus. And wood. If I could parley with pachyderms, it's a fairy tale worthy of Hans Andersen or Grimm.
So, Elena, you never saw the original Dr. Dolittle, is that what you're saying, basically?
No.
That's amazing. You were deprived as a child. You know, first of all, the original Dr. Dolittle pretty much bombed. I don't know if you realize that.
I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah, it was a big bomb. It was like a famous bomb. Chris, are you there? Did you see the Dr. Dolittle when you were a kid? Is Chris there? Let's see. I don't know where he is. There, did you see the Dr. Dolittle when you were a kid? No, that's him. That's not him. Is this you, Chris? Where are you? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I hear you. Okay.
Can talk you hear to me. Now?
I can hear you. Keep talking.
Yeah, what's going on?
Okay.
Turn me all the way up.
All right, there you are.
All right, I'm right here. Here
there
I am.
You are. There you are.
Hello, Elena. Hello,
Hi,
Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, man.
Good. All right.
Yes. Have you seen Dr. Dolittle as a child?
Did you see Dr. Dolittle as a child?
Yes, I saw Dr. Dolittle as a child. I saw it at Radio City Music Hall, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That was a big premiere thing.
And they had a push-me-pull-me. They had a push-me-pull-me at the premiere.
They had one.
Yes, I saw it on TV. I never was there, but I saw it on TV. Or somebody told me about it. Actually, I never saw it.
Back in the day, they used to have actual, like, theater brochures, which you either... I think you can buy for, like, $5 or something. So they actually had, like, a brochure for the movie, which they don't do anymore.
And you had that? You had it?
Do you still have it?
Yeah, I have it. Somewhere. Who knows? I wasn't crazy about the movie. I liked it, but I didn't love it. I liked it.
You liked it, but you didn't love it. Well, I guess you weren't alone. And Elena, for you, when I said Elena, did you ever see the original? And she goes, "Oh, the Eddie Murphy." So that yes, she did. So Elena, so that the Eddie Murphy, you love the original Eddie Murphy?
I actually did enjoy it.
You did,
but I have something to say that you played that song.
Okay, what do you want to say about that song?
How great it would be. If
how
we could
great
talk
it
animals.
Would be.
How great it would be
speak
if
to
we
the
could
animals.
Talk to the animals. How great it would be. I have one thing to add. How great it would be if we could talk to the animals.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah. Yes. So, but I mean, I'm assuming we're all going to talk about how horrible it would be.
The animals would be saying, stop killing us.
You know, the thing is, right now, the way we treat animals and... you know, we're going to go over. There's a lot of topics. We're going to talk about the animal holocaust. We're going to talk about the Australia fires, 1.2 billion dead. We're going to talk about veganism. We're going to talk about rat giggles. We're going to talk about the Impossible Burger, the whole move towards
rat giggles.
Yeah, I have rat giggles. I have lap giggles. God. And then we're going to talk about the Impossible Burger and the Beyond Burger and all that. They're all a lot more expensive than beef. So that means beef is cheap. Beef is cheap now. Mm-hmm. You can just kill an animal, process it, and it's cheap. It's cheaper than sustainable food. All right, so whatever that is all. Yeah, that's a whole thing. But I want to read something to you. What the definition of animal communication
because
is?
Because we are going to wind up with episode 3 from Escape from the Planet of the Apes is where
clearly, well, that's for the end of the show. That's for the end of the show. All right, okay. So clearly that's where we're headed. Okay, animal communication is the transfer of information from one or a group of animals, sender or senders, to one or more other animals, receiver or receivers, that affects the current or future behavior of the receivers. Now let that sink in for a second. Animal communication, okay. Information may be sent intentionally, as in a courtship display, or unintentionally, as in the transfer of scent from predator to prey.
Wow.
Information may be transferred to an audience of several receivers. Animal communication is a rapidly growing area of study in disciplines including animal behavior, sociology, neurology, and animal cognition. Many aspects of animal behavior, such as symbolic name use, emotional expression, learning, and sexual behavior, are being understood in new ways.
Wait, so I have a question.
Yes.
So, like, with medicine and psychiatry in the dawn of the 20th century, are we going to be, is this going to be the thing for the 21st century, understanding cognitive
animals? Well, what's interesting is that we're just, you know, we've been, and there's no way of not likening it to slavery, and how we treat animals has been compared to the Holocaust. You know, there are many Holocaust survivors who compare what we do to animals to the Holocaust, but just the inhumanity of how we treat these creatures that we're raising merely for the commodity to eat. They're being raised to be killed. And we do all kinds of things. We fatten them up and we do all these things to them. We feed them whatever we can that we can buy cheapest and processed and genetically mutate to give this, that, the other thing.
And keep them in cages and
chickens with giant breasts and anything. But all of that comes back to, at this point, you know, it is a new field. We really don't know. We're only, any pet owner can tell you just how deep communication can go between a human and an animal. Mm-hmm. Any pet owner can tell you that. But at the same time, you hear about people who, you know, they move and they leave the dog.
Yeah.
They the fire comes and they just left the animals. You know, you read, if you want to read, it's out there. People do horrible things just on an individual level. You know,
and that's just
take a
dogs.
Bunch of kittens and drop them in the river with a rock in the bag. All kinds of things.
But I have one
what?
Point to that.
Yes.
If we could talk to the animals, and I don't mean to make this a more dour subject.
No, I want to know what the animals would say to us.
In terms of...
Get out! I'm sorry. What?
I think it would be worse.
What would be, if we could talk to the animals, it would be worse?
I think that then if we would...
It'd be worse for who, the animals or the
animals,
humans?
For sure. I think that if we could talk to the animals, the Holocaust would be, if whatever analogy that we're trying to use, with, I don't agree with using that word per se. I think the Holocaust, I don't agree with that. But when, in terms of, in my opinion, if we could actually talk to the animals, I think there would be far more abuse than there is in what you're just saying.
I can't disagree. I can't disagree.
Humans would abuse animals
more. Hello, hello, slavery. Hello, hello. Come on. Yes. If humans are aware of just how powerful, are they aware of how they're abusing another sentient being? Would they continue to do it? Would they become more abusive?
No.
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I agree with you, Elena.
But
I'm agreeing with you.
But
I'm agreeing with you.
I think if the animals knew that they couldn't take advantage and they couldn't be they couldn't just take advantage of the animal, they
Wait,
would even
if the
be,
animals knew they couldn't take advantage of the animal,
no,
what are you saying?
If the human were then felt they were victim,
the human
felt they were victim or their
if the human felt they were victim, what are we talking about, Elena? I thought you said the animals. What are you talking about?
If they could speak to them and they could actually fear that they would actually
wait,
have...
Wait, who's the they? Are we on the side of the animal or the human at this moment?
If the humans felt...
Yes.
...that they were not solely empowering, they would choose to take power away even further. They would be threatened by the animal.
Well,
hello, like, I just said I agreed with you. This is the slavery. That's exactly how it all went down. So I'm agreeing with you. So
but
you
here's
got to
the
move
thing.
Past. You have to move past, make your point.
I don't understand.
I agree with you. What?
I don't understand why you take objection to the word Holocaust, though. Because, I mean, that is what the human race is doing.
Oh, please. What about, like, when the cows or the pigs or the chickens, they get some disease and it's like, all right, well, you know, it's too much to cure this disease, so we got to kill them all. That's a Holocaust. I'm sorry. It's an animal Holocaust. When the humans decide they're just going to kill them, not even to eat, they're just going to kill them, that's a Holocaust.
Gotta make sure.
You ask any chicken, any pig, or any cow, they could... If they could talk to you, they would tell you, yes, there have been multiple Holocausts beyond the being raised for food. Just like, what's his name on Discovery? What's his name?
Who's this?
On Discovery, he was raised for food. Come on. Come on. Discovery. Star Trek Discovery. Hello.
Oh, Discovery.
What people am I doing this show with? Discovery. What?
No. How would it have made a difference?
Well, you mean the thing
how
the,
would,
the
what
engine?
Have made a difference? What are you talking about, Lena?
Would you have a different reaction?
What are you talking about? What are we talking about?
If they could talk, would we have had a different reaction?
To what?
To an animal Holocaust.
You mean if they were screaming, no, don't kill me, farmer! You mean, would we have had a different... No, I don't think... I think that, you know, again... Look at slavery. Look at the history of slavery. Look at what happened after slavery. Look at Black Wall Street. No, I think if you have decided that some being is less than you, then you have no qualms about killing it, abusing it, using it for what you want, eating it, whatever. It's not as important as your life. So yes, I think that. If to answer your question, in terms of how humans treat other living beings, I mean they've discovered now that plants will actually make sounds. They scream and they know when they're being cut. So now what? Can't eat the plants either? I mean, you know, there's a whole. The question becomes: what do you decide is of value? Are there are countries you've had a dog. There are countries where they eat dog. Does that seem abhorrent to you, or do you just go, well, you know, it's China?
No, I don't say that at all.
What do you say? It's like, well, I wouldn't eat a dog, but I don't, you know, look down on anybody who does. So you're open to what humans do.
I would have to say yes.
I've eaten dog, but in my defense, I didn't know it was dog at first.
That's what they all say. They all say that.
Oh, this is dog? I had no idea.
Yes.
Well, I do know that the veterinarians charge an exorbitantly amount of money at a lot of these veterinarian clinics. Very expensive. At the veterinarian clinic.
At Mount Airy Lodge.
So basically,
it's very expensive to take your pet in to see the vet.
Of course, because you know why? Because you place value in the life of that pet.
And it can be thousands and thousands of dollars. There's a lot of people that, you know, happily spend an enormous amount of money
for like another 2 months of life.
There's dog hotels.
All these things, and I think vets charge way too much. I've never seen an affordable vet or I've ever heard of a place where, oh, well, you can get great care.
The Humane Society.
And the thing is the animal, I mean, it's almost like potluck. It's like the animal can't tell you what's wrong with it. So they have to diagnose it almost like a mechanic looking at the old car. But we'll fix this first.
But if we could talk to the animals can tell us.
Well, as soon as you open that door, you might as well tell me when the aliens are showing up.
What about Animal Farm?
Well, you see, that. Let me just tell you something.
Animal Farm is what we
should
be
making. It's not that far off. I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to read an article called, here's the title of the article, Decoding Animal Talk, How AI
But Animal Farm was just an analogy.
How AI may help us speak with animals.
Oh my God.
Yeah. See that's making sense to me now, because that could, I mean, this is the direction where we're headed. And what happens if Steve Jobs wouldn't have died? Where would we be today? You know, he left the iPod behind when he made the iPhone become a full reality. Where would we be today?
Steve Jobs would have made an animal talking machine.
Are you working for Apple? Well, like, how is like Steve? Oh, Steve
I'm not
Jobs.
Working for Apple.
We'd have world peace if Steve Jobs was here.
You're talking about AI, and they're talking animals. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Like, where the leaps and bounds of where our technology is going is amazing. And yeah, we probably will be able to decipher some type of
Steve Jobs didn't give a damn about humanity. What?
Steve Jobs didn't give a damn about humanity.
When he came back as Apple CEO after they got him back, he shut down charitable operations for Apple.
That was saving money. Your company's bleeding money, you're going to have charitable operations. Whatever.
He wasn't the smartest guy.
He was smart enough. He's smarter than Mike from Jersey. Where's your empire? Huh?
Yeah.
Build us another studio.
Yeah. Where's your empire? Huh?
It's jumping past out of the box. It's looking out of the box. What we're talking about tonight is out of the box. What happens if animals can communicate? And at what point are we going to be communicating with animals? If what the article you just read seems like we're on the precipice, we're almost there. You know, they're starting to decipher how monkeys communicate, and all this research that's going on. And like you said, we're on the precipice of some breakthroughs where this might be possible. We could be talking about it today, and a couple of years from now, it can become, as always happens with night shift,
exactly. And we replace Elena with the dog.
No, hair for it.
So I have a question.
I'm already dressed like a dog.
So if you have technology for animal speech, are you going to give that to the animals in the zoo? And you're just like, hey, and you talk to them?
Should we even have animals in the zoo?
All right, listen to me. All right, first of all, we're going to get to that because animals in the zoo, I think that hole needs to be over. We should go to the holograms we were talking about earlier. Second of all, hunting. Hunting is obsolete.
Absolutely.
I think it's obsolete. I don't think it should be, just like Zaya said, he kills for greed or sport or, all that. That's just what humans do. Now, I'm going to read to you. I'm going to read to you.
Read us the 39th Psalm.
Exactly. It's only the beast man. All right. So I'm just saying it is. It's true.
I know it's true.
Even Elena knows it's true. All right. So here's what I'm going to read to you right now. Okay. This is an article from Gaia. Now, artificial intelligence will help us communicate with animals. Many pet owners consider their animals to be a member of the family, much like a son or daughter. But what if we could take our relationships a step further by using technology to communicate with animals? This may soon become a reality as scientists implement artificial intelligence to decode the disparate dialects of our zoological friends. There have been attempts in the past to create translation devices that can interpret animal sounds and their meaning. Some of these attempts have utterly failed or simply mimic animal sounds, while others have had slightly more success, translating a few sounds that refer to mundane concepts like food. Though some of these endeavors have been exciting or novel at first, they haven't reached the ability to truly translate what's going on inside those furry noggins in real time. At least not yet. While much of this technology is being used to study animals in the wild, someday it may be parlayed into a device for consumers to talk to your dog or cat. Think about that, Elena.
Fernando.
Finally, you'll be...
Fernando,
dead.
Come back to bed. All right. Well, it doesn't matter. You would still have him come back if you could bring him back.
It doesn't matter.
You would. You
send
clone him
to the cemetery.
You just spent 45 minutes evaluating how cruel we are to animals. It doesn't matter that.
You'd bring him back.
My dog is dead.
You bring some fur.
Just pretend like he's alive for the chance of the story.
Elena, are you going to put him in the pet cemetery?
No, he's in my closet. Thank you very much.
I'm going to tell you right now.
I can't help it. Fernando's in the closet.
Can I finish? Okay.
That cat that came back and pet cemetery, that thing wasn't right.
Exactly. No. All right. Finally, finally, you'll be able to express to Fido just how much he means to you.
Fur was all stuck to the ground.
See, and you're using anachronism.
All right. Can I finish? Yeah. Can
stereotypical
I finish
words.
I'm reading an article. I'm not using any of this. Okay. Says here.
Well, you have to
the man,
edit it then.
Can I finish? The man who is often...
We're talking about slavery, Holocaust, but then when you just
I'm
call them Fido...
I'm going to turn your microphone down. The man who is most often touted as the as leading the charge in decoding bestial lingo is Dr. Konstantin Slobodchikov.
That's a made-up name.
It's not. Konstantin like Slobodchikov, Fido. The real-life Dr. Doolittle. Slobodchikov is an expert in animal language while studying prairie dogs. He learned that animals use advanced verbal communication to warn each other of predators. Predators, prairie dogs are able to identify and communicate characteristics about perceived threats such as a predator's height, weight, size, and color. They use a number of different phenomes to distinguish physical traits and even remember certain characteristics from the past. Not only do these animals use verbs and nouns, but they consider syntax when gossiping with each other. Slobodchikov was able to catalog these sounds in order to synthesize their language into English. He's using artificial intelligence to maintain and develop this catalog, allowing the computer to learn its own on its own in order to translate the animal jargon. Now tell me that is not life is science fiction.
I could do that on a certain amount of narcotics.
Oh, you cannot talk to prairie dog. Don't even lie.
Oh, oh look.
Come on.
Prairie dog number one just told Hernando. Me I look
there
I was
it
ugly.
Is. Who's prairie dog number one? Is it, are you on... You're on that dating site again, Elena.
Wait, I got a question for Elena. So, yes. Your question...
Why is my
I thought
dog
your question,
in the closet?
I thought your question was good, which is, would humanity be worse or treat animals differently? Here's my question. Would... Do
Thank
you, think,
you. That's actually that my top question.
Do you think that animals would change their behavior towards us if they could speak to us?
Absolutely. I think that in terms...
Yeah, they could, instead of having to crap on the side of the cat box, they could do something else more annoying.
Okay, well, we can take all the... We can do the joke jargon on the second hour, but just to answer my question
Second hour or later?
Yes.
We got 7 minutes.
Can you say hour?
Second hour.
Yes, you can do that.
Joke jargon.
Well, no, Mike, this is really the question I'm thinking. Like, when you think...
Well,
get
to the question. Hurry up.
Yes, when you actually have an animal act as a human and actually speak to them in human jargon, how is that going to be any different than if you and I, you know, were talking and having a relationship? Would I not?
No difference, Elena, because you are an animal.
Well, that's right. And you would treat me differently. I wouldn't be as nice to you.
Well, this, first of all...
And vice versa.
All I would have to do
right?
would be scratch you under the neck.
Exactly. That's all Princess needed. That's all Fernando needed. But if that required more and language was a factor within that relationship, it would be much more complicated. And it would be much more hate-infused because language wouldn't all of a sudden play a factor.
You feel humans would get along worse with animals? Could we treat
absolutely.
Animals worse? I don't know. I don't know if
you're
we could.
You're asking if we can communicate with them. Then that brings us on this level of communication where we can express something that we don't interpret.
Express something that we don't interpret.
Think about it. When you're talking to Princess, when I'm talking to my cat, or when
you
I was
mean,
talking
when they were
to
alive, Fernand, or now that they're dead? Because I still talk
no,
to Princess.
My cat's still alive. When I talk to them, I can just talk for him. I can make up things. And
so you're like in
exactly.
In,
I can play
in
both
Frozen,
parts
in Frozen. Like you do
yes,
like the moose voice.
I can
voice.
Play both parts, which is totally superioristic and fascist way of looking at things.
Now I
want to
put a spy camera in Elena's apartment and see Elena gets home. Hello, I'm home.
I do
oh,
do
hi,
that.
Elena, so
it's
happy
so
you're
true.
Home.
Oh, so good to see you guys, too.
Oh, we love you, Elena. You're the greatest human on earth.
Oh, I know. It's just so that the other humans don't know.
Now, actually, I would say that is a joke, but that's kind of true. and I'm embarrassed to admit it, but it's true. I'm like, oh, he tells me I love him. I'm actually doing my you know,
this
monologue.
Is, this is the cat singing. The cat is singing in the background.
I'm my single woman show. But if the cat could talk to me and say that I'm, you know, I need to wash my hair and I'm dirty and why don't you clean my litter box? And I'm going to be like, now I have a problem with you.
Mm. So in other words, if the cat could ask for more than food and water and clean my cat box.
And not say I'm pretty and like lovely and the best person ever.
In other words,
there would be a problem.
I see it. So if you would understand that the cat, first of all, I deciphered cats, just so you know. You know, first of all, cats, maybe you don't know this, cats only meow like to their owners. Okay, they don't meow. Cats don't meow to each other. This is completely true. They do not meow to each other. It's a language that they've learned how to communicate with humans. And so I realized after several years of having a cat that a cat is not actually saying meow. The cat is saying now. So whatever it is. It's like
whatever makes you sleep at night.
Now. So,
see, Mike is doing.
I figured that all out. Okay?
Mike is exhibiting exactly what I just said. He interprets what he wants to interpret from his animal,
and it is
and
Chris.
It makes
Chris
him
knows.
Superior.
Chris, am I true?
First of all,
and so if indeed
that's
Princess,
the only word the cats can say,
right? If indeed Princess was able to speak, he'd probably be like, "Stop putting me in this shoebox for the last 16 years."
First of all, Mike's cat had an attitude problem.
Right?
I pet this cat for like...
It was mean.
10 seconds, and all of a sudden he's like, he like turns on me.
It was just a good judge of character.
Princess was mean. If Princess could talk to either Mike from or me, he would ask us to leave. Ask to from the... Get out! The shoe.
Pretty much says the same thing over and over. When I ask what's going on, it just keeps meowing the same meow.
Exactly. You know what? And he's telling you whatever it is that you're not understanding, he's going, now.
Yeah. He's not.
Now.
She was not saying that. She was saying, help, help.
No, she was saying now. You didn't, you obviously have a cat you raised since 6 weeks.
3 weeks. 3 years.
Yeah, about 6 weeks old.
So, Mike, did you see Doolittle? Did you see?
Yeah, we saw Doolittle. Doolittle tonight, and Elena will give her review, and then I'll give my review. And it's interesting that it's coming out at this time where we've had such a massive destruction of animals, and then the question is going back to animal communication and that definition. How will we change how we? You know, people are like, "Oh my God, it's so terrible! Oh my God, all those animals dead!" But you know, pass the chicken. So the question is, you know, will what we're doing change this? I mean, even if you are a person who doesn't believe that it was climate change caused all these fires and has caused, you know, things just to be different, we've already altered the atmosphere. We've altered the weather patterns of the planet because of, you know, the amount of, let's just say, waste we produce and the way we do what we do as humans. Even if you don't believe all that, and it's just, oh, it's nature, it's inevitable. So still, half those animals die because of what we do, what animals are kept for. So will it change us? That's really my question.
It's gonna, yes. I think the caller last week said it's going to kill us.
Mm.
This planet's going to eliminate us. Where was going to be
Wiped out.
Eliminated. We're the ones that are going to be, you know.
Alienated.
Yeah.
So why don't we, go to Mars and leave the animals here and let them have the planet?
That's a new word. Hello, you're on the air. Who's here?
Hello, it's Tom.
Tom from the Bronx. The real Tom. You know, Tom, there are a lot of fakers that call up and pretend to be you. Do you know that?
I don't know that. But anyway, I'd like to say this. So Australia's problem are these chemtrails. It came out on the...
I like you brought it back
into
chemtrails.
Another program, you know, scientific program, where the chemtrails stop it from raining, certain chemtrails. And I think that Australia, I'm going to give you my opinion, wants to get rid of a lot of these creatures because they got a lot of vipers and they got a lot of bears.
Vipers.
They got a lot of
snakes. They got a lot of vipers.
Poisonous.
Yes.
And I think what they want to do is to get rid of a lot of these creatures.
Listen, did you hear? Did you
go there to live there? Except
did you hear about the snipers shooting the 10,000 camels? Did you hear about that? Snipers had to shoot 10,000 camels. Now, I thought camels could live for like months without drinking water, and they said, "Oh, we did it because they're drinking up all the water." I don't understand, you know. 10,000 helicopters with snipers. Did you hear about this, Elena?
No, I didn't hear that.
This is horrifying. Just you can look it up. As a matter of fact, I'm sure I put it on the Night Shift Facebook page. But that's just
Holocaust.
Elena doesn't like the word, but I'm sorry. Holocaust. Holocaust.
Those things that
animal holocaust.
You know, just like I said,
Mike,
we weren't like
this. Can you hear me? No, I can't hear you, Tom. Chris is talking.
I want to say Rocky and Bullwinkle talked to each other a long time, too.
They did. They got to be friends. What were you going to say, Chris?
last week, I said that we weren't going to go to war, and we haven't. And I do believe that I will say this. We are probably getting very close to the precipice of being extinct. And I think that that's what's going to happen. I think we're going to, a lot of people are going to.
You heard it here. You heard it here on Night Shift. This is the prophet or crackpot.
Aren't we on the precipice now?
Listen, we're not on the precipice. We're already in, we've leapt. We're leapt. This is the slow descent. It seems slow to us, but in reality, things have escalated pretty quickly in the last 5-10 years in terms of global things. You know, it's not just Australia. There's Brazil. Yeah. Okay. There's California.
Yes.
There's what's going on in Alaska. You know, we have altered the planet. You know, there are a bazillion time bombs. Forget all the time bombs that man's created and the nuclear subs that went down that could poison and then Fukushima. Forget all that. There are new bacteria being released from that have not been seen on Earth for a million years.
Right.
Scientists wonder. You know, and meanwhile, they're creating, like Jurassic Park, they're creating dinosaurs.
There's things that are melting in the ice and entering the atmosphere.
Did you read the Chinese doctor they're giving jail time to for creating these gene-spliced babies?
Stop. No, I didn't hear this.
It's on the Night Shift Facebook page. It's just, life is completely like science fiction now. So, every morning you feel like you should wake up and you hear a man barely alive. You know, it's like Rod Serling should be narrating the world at this point. So.
Anyway, it's those chemtrails that are the trouble.
Yes, chemtrails. It's everything. What was the chem for? What was they laying down the chem for, though, by the way?
The chemtrails were stopping the rain from coming down.
Yeah, I know, but what was the intended purpose of the chem that they were trailing?
That's a good question.
Yes, I know. I mean, they say this like, it's like that, oh, come on, let's go on another chemtrail run. I mean, it's like, why were they doing it? That's the question. Yeah, I know, you don't know. Hello, you're on the air.
What's
Kaijudo?
Kaijudo.
The caller formerly known as Yoda. Yes, Kaijudo.
Oh, new name.
Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda. Exactly, Baby Yoda. Yoda Baby. They call him Yoda Baby.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, hold up. Have you seen Mandalorian, Mike?
I saw the first four episodes. It's the first four.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and you didn't take you, and you immediately didn't call me?
I didn't immediately call you. I watched the first four episodes.
I mean, we discussed this. We were going to talk about it as soon as you started watching it.
Well, I finished first.
And let me tell you something, Mike from Jersey. I got a complaint. Mike from Jersey, dig this. You know, I wanted to talk to Mike about Joker because I finally saw Joker and I was excited to talk to him.
He finally saw Joker. I saw it like 3 months ago.
I'm not like you. I've had a very busy schedule.
Yes, but I have a life.
I finally saw Joker, and I was excited to talk to Mike about Joker. And do you think he would take 5 minutes out of his schedule and talk?
First of all, don't even try it, okay? Because he's like a POW. No. It's like, all right, I like my allotted time. I can talk to you in the next 2 hours. Call me back.
5 minutes.
Like, and I say, all right, I can call you now.
And can I just interject one thing? What if Chris was a cat? Then you wouldn't have to be dealing with any of this.
Chris was a cat. You know what? I'd spray him with the canned
and
air.
Put him in a shoebox.
You put little canned air. Boom!
I'm
Chris is running.
You now.
That's right.
All I want
y'all get along
I want
much better
with Mike. just to tell him what I thought of Joker, and I couldn't even do it. He still to this day we haven't discussed it. And now I find that he's seen four episodes of Mandalorian.
All right, Elena, let's give your review of Dr. Doom, since we're in a film jag here, before we take some calls, asking people about the Night Shift questions and what their thoughts are about animals. But Kaijudo, did you have something you wanted to say? Yes, what did you want to say?
I wanted to bring up a story to you real quickly. And also, last night, the episode of Doctor Who, they spoke about global warming. It was a really good episode.
On what?
Doctor Who?
On Doctor Who.
Yeah, Doctor Who. What happened was...
With the Doctor Who. We're not ever going to watch Doctor Who. We told you that last time.
No, I know you're not going to watch it. That's what I'm going to talk about. Long story short, they end up on this planet. There's no oxygen. It's destroyed. There's these monsters running around, and they're running from the monsters. And then they go down in this basement, and they see that there's, like, Russian letters down there, and they find out that they're on Earth. They're, like, a future Earth. And it was because of global warming that all that stuff happened. It was a good episode.
Ooh, well, there it is.
The characters. Yeah, it was great. It's also a standalone episode, so you don't really need to know Doctor Who history and lore to enjoy it. So you might want to check it out. I mean, I already spoiled the twist, but I don't think it's that bad of a spoil. You can still get enjoyment out of it. It's good. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, did you have that story about the cuttlefish that can see in through the world?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's on the Night Shift Facebook page. Listen, the cuttlefish, they now again, you got to wonder like what these scientists are smoking. They put 3D glasses on a cuttlefish, and they're like,
"Hey, cuttlefish, hey, it perceives things just like us." That's amazing.
I have an idea. Puff pass. I'm sorry. I'm just saying. It's just sort of a
little cruel.
It's just the, you know, okay.
Terrible.
Well, now we know. You know, but you put in cuttlefish, you mostly get recipes. Unless you put in cuttlefish 3D. That's how humans treat cuttlefish. It's like, okay, we'll put the 3D glasses on them and then we'll have them for dinner. You're going to give us your review of Dr. Doolittle.
Oh, wow.
I'm ready for your review, Elena.
Oh, wow.
Okay, because I saw it. I can give my review, but I want to hear Elena's review. Keeping in mind that Elena never saw the original, and Eddie Murphy one is the one she liked, just to qualify her.
But Elena, be quick.
I'll be quick.
Time is going.
Elena, be quick. Elena, be nimble. Elena jumped over the...
You're already being really quick.
I'm trying to be as kind as I can be.
Elena was quick.
In keeping within line with the topic of the show.
Elena jumped over the candles.
Elena was quick.
The graphics were horrible. Robert Downey Jr. should probably never act again. And Johnny Depp should probably just have taken over the role for Pirates of Caribbean Part 80. Which is what this film is actually about. It has nothing really to do about, in my opinion, nothing, it was not inspiring at all about talking to the animals. I know I want to stay into the theme of the show, but I cannot in terms of this movie. So that's it. And then also, too, I sat next to amongst some children. I don't think they understood. I don't think I even spoke to adults. And I think in some parts were actually inappropriate and frightening to children at the end. And I'm not going to give away the ending. So that's my review.
Wow.
One of those movies where they were like, we don't like the Eddie Murphy.
Can I do
like
a review of Elena's review?
Wow. Yoda, you giving a review Buckwheat style?
No. No, let's see.
The review Buckwheat style. I haven't seen it, but I saw the trailer.
Let me tell you something. I saw the trailer in the movies, and I thought it was interesting. But I also thought it was...
Well, I'll give him my review. I haven't given my review, though. That was a
good one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to hear your review, Mike.
This will be interesting. Go ahead.
Marvelous man. And he understands the Irish. And any man who understands the Irish can't be reckoned altogether bad. The same way that a lunatic whose patron saint is Patrick can't be reckoned altogether mad. The doctor's very smart. He's an Irishman at heart. His favorite color, sure, it must be green. And also, he's a man who'll blarney when he can. Let me explain the sort of thing I mean. My friend, the doctor, says the moon is made of apple pie, and once a month it's eaten by the sun. And that is why, off in the sky, you'll find as every month goes by, somebody in the sky is making another one. My friend, the doctor, says the sun is made of cheddar cheese. The doctor even knows the reason why. The facts are these. Try, if you please, pretending you're a lonely cheese. Wouldn't you want to try finding an apple pie? Of course you would. Maybe what the doctor tells me isn't altogether true. But I love every tale he tells me. I don't know any better ones. Do you? My friend the doctor says the world is full of fantasy, and who are you and I to disagree? Let's hope and pray that is the way. The life we love will always stay for my friend the doctor and me. Tom, catch! My friend the doctor says the stars are made of lemon drops, the bigger ones are lollipops and ice. Come on, the clouds have shops up on the top that sells you sweets and soda pops. What do they call the place? Isn't it paradise? My friend the doctor says that every time it starts to rain and people run indoors again in swarms, if you remain out in the rain, you'll think you're drinking pink champagne and you'll spend your life praying for thunderstorms. Maybe what the doctor tells me isn't altogether true, but I love every tale he tells me. I don't know any better ones. You, my.
Okay, I'll give you my review.
Mike,
yes.
Warn me when
yes.
You have this to say.
I didn't give my review yet. Go ahead.
I have this to say that what's happening in Australia is a real estate grab to me. When they make stopping it from raining and everything, and they get rid of a lot of bad creatures that like.
Get rid of all the creatures. What's your thought on the whole
it. Real estate wise, the land will be worth more.
And what about the whole palm oil orangutan wipeout in Brazil? What's your thought on that?
Wait. They don't have orangutans in Brazil.
Not much.
Huh?
Not much anymore.
Well, no, I didn't think they had any ever.
Yeah. What do you think of that song? You like that song?
I love that song.
The song that you just played?
Yeah, that was a great song. Come on.
Mike, I've been enjoying the DGM.
Hey. I'm friend of the doctor. All right, anyway, I'm going to give...
It was like Dick Van Dyke went on the loose. It was like...
He sounded just like you when he goes, yeah. That sounded like Chris to me.
It's why I hated those films that Disney did them in the 70s. And you just took me back.
I think Anthony Newley should have just released it. An album of James Bond hits. Goldfinger. Diamond forever. All right, I'm sorry.
Is that song in the new movie?
No. Of course not. Yeah, your picture dropped Downey Jr. No. No, it is not in the movie. All right.
That was
the original. The original.
Where'd you get that record? One of your old collections?
Where'd I get that record? That's
Mike, can you still hear me?
No, I cannot hear you, Tom.
You've
disappeared.
I want to say, it's a real estate grab in Australia.
Yeah, we got that.
You said that already. We got that.
That's from the chemtrails.
Thank you. The chemtrails lead to real estate. I'm with you. That's a good new theory for 2020. Hello. You on the air. Hello. Yes.
Yeah, hi. I'm a member of BAI. My name is Lonnell Williams.
Lonnell, how you doing?
Yeah, Can I get a set of those tickets?
Yes, of course. All you have to do is make a pledge. Okay, any kind of a BAI, buddy, the name of Night Shift, and then email me. Email me your name. lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com, just with the receipt and info. Let me know that you did some
and
kind of pledge.
Send a picture with your pet.
Stop. Okay. Just lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com. And yes, you can get a pair of tickets to go see the movie, stay for the Q&A, and then the event with star-studded. Let me just tell you, Calvin Harrison Jr. is a star to watch.
No, I can't. I've been out to some of your other films which you promoted. And,
okay.
And
I haven't steered you wrong yet.
Good, what you recommended. So.
Thank you.
Right,
I know. I appreciate it. I appreciate that. All right,
appreciate,
sir.
Appreciate. You appreciate it.
I'm a bad. Yeah, hey, that's a right now.
I appreciate you.
You appreciate you.
All right. Should I give my review before we take some calls? We can take some calls. So, I mean, the phone number here is 212-209-2877. I'll give my review of Dr. Doolittle. First of all, I think it's a couple things. It's a kid's film, and you got to go in knowing that. I mean, of course, if your heart is black and you're a bitter adult like Elena, you won't laugh. Okay, but okay.
Dang.
If you're a black-hearted woman like Elena,
shut up,
no,
kitty.
But,
no kidding.
I thought Rob Downey Jr., you know, at first I thought really it had bomb written all over it to me. And I think Rob Downey Jr., you know, he stays in character. He does this Irish accent throughout. And he's fun and he's fully committed to the role. And he, you know, I felt that the film did work, it would be he that made it work. But, you know, it's CGI animals. We've seen CGI animals. There's nothing wrong with that. And they got a lot of great actors doing all the voice work. There's lots of fun people in there. And it again, it's now, if you don't know, Dr. Doolittle is a series of adventures. I mean, Dr. Doolittle, you know, in the books, you know, met dragons and he flew to the moon, you know. So there's a lot of we've never seen with Dr. Doolittle because it's always been, you know, he can talk to animals and, you know, how are we going to do it? You know, when Eddie Murphy did it, you know, CGI was just kind of coming in. So, like, you see the animal and you see the mouth move kind of thing. So now they can have fully CGI animals and it's well done. They're even the commercial, it even fools you. There are scenes that are in the commercial that are not actually in the movie. In terms of how it's told. So for me, I went in with extremely low expectations and it's fun. It's fun. You know, there's nothing wrong with this. Rob Downey Jr., in my opinion, doesn't have to be embarrassed. He does a lot of ridiculous stuff. Like the beginning when he's talking gorillas, a little like, what? But, you know, he makes it work. And I think, again, it's Dr. Doolittle. The concept of talking to animals, they play, it's fun. The stuff that Elena took offense to, you know, I mean, I think it's exciting. It's an adventure, so there's some scary moments, but nothing really super scary, but scary moments. A tiger tries to kill Dr. Doolittle kind of thing. And there's some double entendres in there, but that's kind of standard fare now for kids' films. Mm-hmm. You have to keep the adults engaged, and I think you'll be engaged. And again, I say, now, would it be better if you went for a drink before you went to see it? Probably yes. Okay, but I think it's fun. It's not half as bad as I thought it was going to be. So I can see Rob Downey Jr.'s. You know, the most bizarre thing about the film is that in the movie, you know, he's got this woman he was in love with. That is died, and I'm not giving really away much of the movie. And she happened to be the daughter of Antonio Banderas, and Antonio Banderas never approved of his daughter loving Dr. Doolittle. And you got to go, is it because he's weird, or is it because he's like the same age as you? All right, so that was the only weird thing. That was the only weird thing in the movie. Like,
damn.
Antonio Banderas is the same age as Rob Downey Jr. And you might say he aged a little better. So that's for me. That was probably
way
the
Antonio
Banderas. Yes. So, but Rob Downey
looks pretty good.
Yeah, he looks pretty good, but he doesn't look like he's going to be with the daughter of Antonio Banderas.
You mean in real life?
Well, now there we go. Now in real life.
Wait a second, Antonio Hollywood Banderas' daughter with Melanie Griffith.
Antonio Bandet, stop. Yeah, stop. I'm just saying. He didn't have a daughter with Melanie Griffith. That was a daughter she had with Don Johnson. But I'm just saying.
Don Johnson. You know, talking about Dakota.
I'm just saying in general, you know, whatever.
I know what you're
saying. Antonio Banderas is what, 60?
You said drink
and,
before you go see the movie.
You know, Rob Downey Jr. is what,
55? In the same breath that you said it's a child, yeah. You know, it's a juvenile film.
Well, I mean, you know, okay, you could look at Star Wars and there's a scene where Lando's like, let's go find out your history. And it's you're like, so okay, either that's interesting or it's creepy. You don't know.
Let's go find out.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, is he trying to pick up the young girl?
That was a little weird. You're right.
That was a little weird. There's some little weird.
It was like the end of the movie and Lando's like putting moves on.
Yeah,
well, you didn't know if he was putting moves on because we know he's a smooth operator. All of a sudden, like, he's a daddy figure. I don't know.
She could be his granddaughter.
He's like, I got some Oli in the back. All right, anyway, I'm just saying, you know, who knows? Oli is those commercials he used to do. No, he did Colt 45. That's right. It was Colt 45.
I thought you had something else.
Colt 45. Old E was Old English, you fool. Yeah, no. I know. It's Old Elena. When Elena gets old, we're going to call her Old E.
Yeah. That's the second name I've gotten.
Man. What's
you gotta
that?
Gotta love Nick Nolte in general. You just gotta love him.
Listen, Nick Nolte does the alien in.
I have spoken.
I know what he does, but I just watched him in something else. The Angel now, has.
Let me tell you something. He's great in Angel Has Fallen. He's great. He's like a secret. He's like a secret weapon. Like they all of a sudden they bring out Nick Nolte, and you're like, oh snap! The film just got better. It's like, Nick Nolte's his dad? Yeah, of course he is. It's fun.
There's a documentary out there with Nick Nolte interviews himself.
No, but that's got to be a double feature with Clint Eastwood talking to the chair. I don't know about it.
It's a documentary. $4 to watch it. It's Nick Nolte interviews himself.
Okay. I haven't watched that. Send me a link.
Did you say $4 to watch
it? $4 to watch it. It's Chris's charges $4. Send me a link. Well, you know what? I think that people could call in now and you could tell us what your thoughts are on animals and talking to animals. He didn't see the movie. He didn't see.
I'm the only one that didn't see it.
He saw the commercial though. He saw the trailer.
Oh, you didn't even invite him, Mike.
No, because you know it was Elena's birthday. Was on Saturday. Elena's birthday was on Saturday.
Elena comes first.
That's right. She's 39. 212-209-2877.
But you didn't know. You didn't. I didn't tell you it was my birthday till I got to the preview.
Yeah, well, what? I knew. I was just.
He didn't know.
Every
I got
year,
there.
He takes you to a movie on your birthday. Every year, he's done that since like 20 years now.
I know he's a really good friend. I am just.
Mike's a good friend, man.
I'm busting his
hair. Mike's good, man. You know what? He's a good friend unless you see Joker and you want to talk to him about it, and then he's not available.
All right, you can tell us. Now we talked about Dr. Doolittle.
No. It was a private discussion I wanted to have.
Oh, you wanted a private discussion.
That's what it was.
That's another show.
I enjoyed Joker. You know, we can talk about Joker. I really enjoyed it. Congratulations to Todd Phillips and everybody. That's 11 nominations. But I just saw Judy tonight. I thought Renee Zellweger was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I can't.
Actually,
she's great.
Not seen
she's great. The movie's okay.
She is unbelievable. No, I love the movie. Come on, it was good.
I do want to see that, and I'd like to hear one more minute of your review of that. Because I have not let. I was a big Judy Garland, and I'm a big Liza Minnelli fan, and I'd like to hear what you say.
Wonderful. You'll cry at the end, she sings all the songs, and she is Judy Garland, in my opinion, from the beginning scene all the way to the end.
She's a lock. Never leaves. She's a lock for best.
For the best actor. Good.
She's a lock.
Thank you, guys.
I'm
not such a negative nanny all the time.
You're not?
No.
Just as much as.
So you're going to give up the website?
Phoenix is probably a lock for.
I will.
Best actor.
So no more negativenanny.com?
I didn't get that.
Chris, who do you think's getting best supporting? Pesci?
That's a good question. I'm going to give it to Brad Pitt. Wow.
I am too. I think so too. I'm going to go with that.
Brad
I'll go with that.
Yes, I would.
And not just because he won the Golden Globe, but I really think this is his year to get the.
I would give it to Brad Pitt. Best director, I'm going to give it to.
That's tough.
Samuel Mendes.
No, it's not tough. You didn't see 1917.
Tarantino's going to win best director.
Did you see 1917?
He didn't see 1917.
No,
that's
I did
why
see the 1917. And Deakins is a lock.
No, Deakins is a lock, but Mendes is a lock because he advanced the form. You know, if you can make a film just like, you know, Cameron did
oh, right.
several times with his films, you know, and in many ways Scorsese has, you know, he's now the most, you know, Oscar nominated director, living director of all time right now. But, you know, I think Mendes definitely advanced the form. You know, the whole idea of the single camera that follows you as a storytelling device, we've seen it to great effect in Birdman, and we've seen, you know, directors like, what's his name?
But he changed the form.
Brian De Palma used it, but mm-hmm. it's all child's play compared to the complexity of this film and what it took to make. You know, it's still a film just like any other film is a film, but he took this to another level, and I think that that's what the Academy is about.
That's what I
think that's why he'll win. This is my opinion, Mike from Jersey. I know you're wrong. Wrong as two left shoes. Wrong as a $3 bill.
So wait, picture. Are you crediting Sam Mendes more than Deakins for the look and the visual style?
Yeah, I'm not crediting more. I mean, I think they couldn't have done it without each other. But I think, you know, it's one thing to have a vision. It's another thing to have somebody who can help you execute it. And I think that it's the combo. You can't give Deakins an Oscar and not give Mendes an Oscar. You can't, in my opinion. I mean, this is my opinion. We'll know if I'm right. And you can just take part in the money pool.
Well, just take your
hello, you're on the air.
Take your vest off and throw it in the street.
Yes.
I think he should have been nominated for Best Lead Actor because he has so much screen time in the film.
Yeah, it's a lot of screen time, but it's 3 hours and 20 minutes, so it seems like a more screen time. It's still De Niro's film, and he didn't get nominated.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, couldn't you make the case, though, that Pesci is almost as important to the story as De Niro? I mean,
you could make the case, but I think you'd lose that case. I think Pesci's integral. Clearly, and he's definitely a strong supporting character. You know, whether
he's. Do you think The Irishman is going to win anything? I mean, I'm getting bad feeling that it's going to get shut out. Do you think it's
you know, that's a good question. I had to look at the list again and have it in front of me to tell you my ultimate predictions.
What?
The list.
Well, if you had to predict now, what do you think is going to win Best Picture?
Like I said, I'd have to have the list in front of me to
I'll give you the list. You want the list?
The Irishman, I don't really want the list. You know, I don't see The Irishman necessarily winning Best Picture.
Here,
no.
Let me give you the list.
Would you vote for it?
The Best Picture is 1917.
Well, I voted in like so many groups. I voted in like four groups, in the Critics' Choice, and the Black Film Critics, and the Real Awards. You know, if you feel you must, I wasn't really.
Well, here's the list.
Okay.
1917. Ford,
I mean, there were a lot of good films this
Joker,
year, but to me, The Irishman
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Above all the others.
If you're going to keep talking, then I'm not going to talk, so hold up a second. Thank you, man. Parasite, The Irishman, Little Women, Jojo Rabbit, and The Marriage Story. There are your Best Picture nominations.
Well, it's between The Irishman and 1917. Those are the only real contenders,
mm-hmm.
there, in my opinion.
Right.
There are other films. It's like, okay, they got nominated, but they're not really contenders for Best Picture.
You don't think Joker has a shot?
No. For Best Picture?
No.
Come on.
No, not
it's
at all.
It's the times
we're living in.
Listen. No. Bold dingies. Okay. The Joker. Great. Joker's great in that it is a piece of science fiction or speculative fiction that takes iconic characters and grounds it in reality, like the first Batman did, it maintains a certain amount of social relevance if you take it seriously, meaning, okay, if there was a crazy guy going around with a clown face, he would have to be mentally disturbed. So, if you just take that at face value and run with it and set it in present day, the story kind of writes itself, in my opinion. So, that being said, from a stylistic point of view, he pays homage to better films. films that had more to say, that were stronger.
King of Comedy and Taxi Driver.
King of Comedy, Taxi Driver.
Let's not
leave out Fight Club. Fight Club too.
I got a new one in there too.
There are a few others.
Sling Blade.
Yeah. So I say all that to say that no, I don't think it's going to win Best Picture. I don't think it's. I heard you, Sling Blade.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
Yeah,
that's a Best Picture on a different plane.
Again, those are all better films than Joker. I mean, not that Joker's bad. I enjoyed Joker. I enjoyed how assured a vision he had, and he had this vision to make this film, and again, it's valid, and I'm glad, and clearly it struck a nerve. You know, I think that there's certain films throughout history that hit a zeitgeist. The Godfather, Jaws, Star Wars, you know, they hit something in that moment. That's what everybody needed. Everybody felt they had to see it, and they all got something out of it. And in the world we live in, it's no mystery why a story like this could resonate, because we could all be the Joker, and we all have fantasized about being someone who could make a difference,
or being a victim of
Being a victim.
But isn't that an argument for winning?
A victim who turns tables on, you know, whoever or whatever is victimizing you. So that's what I said.
And also, too, and just one more point to that, to that, yes, too, not even being a victim, but being one that understands why, and you want to be what actually is the villain.
Did you see Joker?
No, I haven't seen that.
I see she's giving
you
her.
She
hasn't seen it, but
she's doing her buckwheat.
But no, but she's understanding okay. the overall that you know the appeal
the
and
concept.
just for to be someone who hasn't seen the film, you, even hearing what she understands, why it's resonating because okay, Joker is not a hero, but Joker is someone
an
who became
anti-hero.
He's an anti-hero, but he's someone who became a celebrity, who became more than he, like an OJ. OJ was not OJ represented more than what OJ was. Okay, OJ was not so much down with black folks, but what was happening to OJ represented much more than OJ. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what does it take to become an icon in today's times? What does it take? Like, what are people angry about? What are people, you know, feeling strongly about? So that's what, in my opinion, that's what it tapped into. And again, the other most interesting thing about Joker is that this follows a trend, I think, that's happening in film, especially in the last 5 years or so, where we see all these directors who are known for doing comedies.
Yes.
Making these films that are strong social commentary, which is, again, comedy is more relevant than ever before.
Director of Bombshell.
Exactly. And that's just again,
Austin Powers.
Exactly. Said Director of Bombshell. You know, I mean, all these films that have come, The Big Short, you know, all these directors who have been making these films that have something strong to say about the human condition, about the culture, about where we are now. You know, says a lot about the times we live in. You know, who could have, if 5 years ago, if I told you the Saturday Night Live would become so relevant that every week, whatever happened on Saturday Night Live would be news on major media outlets, you'd have been like, get the hell out of here. Because Saturday Night Live was not relevant. But now, we prefer, you know, in the age of quote unquote fake news and reality TV, we prefer comedians and humorists and satirists giving us, you know, the all the Rachel Maddows and all these people who are not so much giving us the news, but they're giving us a humorous way of looking at it. They're giving us an editorial strong standpoint, even whether you're on the left or you're on the right. You know, it's today
a curve on the platform.
And yeah, that has, guys like Stephen Colbert have a bigger audience.
Yeah, Stephen Colbert and what's his name on Fox News? Yeah, Bill Maher. You know, but I'm saying whether you're on the left or on your right, it's always these people who are opinionated, who are giving these opinions on things, are more interesting than the news and the right. straight. Walter Cronkites are not heroes of today. The heroes of today are the Stephen Colberts and the what's that guy on Fox News that everybody loves?
Hannity,
Sean Hannity. Those are the people who people listen to. People who have strong opinions, which kind of goes into the whole concept of the fact that we all get our opinions from somebody else. But that's a whole other conversation. So, I do want to talk about animals, because I have a couple other interesting stories to bring in, and some people are calling. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. I'd just like to say, you know, Star Trek has a mystery. Scotty is from Scotland, and he speaks Scottish. That's why he's called Scotty. I realize that.
Well, you're clearly a sharp customer, sir.
No, I'm just kidding. I love Tom from the Bronx. I'm glad he called. I couldn't wait to hear from him. But this Friday show is extended into Monday. There's so much movies to talk about. You got to use this show as the extension of the Friday show.
There's a lot of movies to talk about. There it is. So, yeah, we'll be talking about Dr. Doolittle. I'm going to see the gentleman on Wednesday. I'm going to see Bad Boys. Yeah, Bad Boys. The movie nobody asked
Bad Boys
for.
Forever or something?
Yeah, Bad Boys.
For life.
Bad Boys yet again with Will Smith. And, so, yeah, it looks what?
I didn't see The Joker, but is there references to the John Wayne Gacy makeup and John Wayne Gacy, or is that a total
No. Well, the Joker...
No.
Joker, in general, is kind of inspired by... The Man Who Never Smiles, from a movie, for it was a movie that inspired the comic character.
Right.
And now the comic character is inspired by other things. So, no, there is not any reference to John Wayne Gacy. But, I mean, again, you can, you know,
you can decide that
I think one of any good movie, really, and this probably goes with any story, but it's you bring to the story a lot of things. The story right. is just a template for you to project your own id and your own perspective of the world on it. So there have been a lot of think pieces written on Joker, and they're all valid.
Research reveals what goes on in a rat's brain during a tickle attack. For Scientific American, this is Catherine Caruso. Scientists knew rats loved to be tickled, especially on their backs and bellies. A tickled rat lets out tiny giggles, too high for us to hear. Special microphones captured the squeaks so they could be replayed in a lower register. Belly and back tickles elicited giggles galore. Tail tickles? Not so much. The rats will chase a researcher's hand for more. And even frolic about in a newly described behavior called joy jumps. But only if the rats are in the mood to be tickled. A bright light and a platform make a rat anxious, and it won't giggle when tickled. Now, researchers linked these reactions to a specific brain region in the somatosensory cortex. Tickles activate these neurons, and stimulating those neurons makes the rats giggle, even when they aren't being tickled. Whether a rat can tickle itself is a question for future research.
They need 3D glasses for that research, just so you know. So, rat giggles. Now, what does that make you think, Elena? Did you know that rats giggled?
I had one in my bed last week. No, it didn't giggle.
Stop. It didn't giggle. Well, clearly you were not doing a good job.
I wasn't doing it right. Mm-hmm. No. And I know it can't do it itself.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris, did you know about the rat giggles?
Dude.
Rat giggles.
Listen, man, no. I'm going to tell you, I want rats as far away from me as I possibly can.
Come on, they can giggle with
they
you.
Freak me out. I've seen the rat stealing the pizza down in the trains.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Running with a hot dog, and he's got a pizza, and the two of them running together.
I've seen that, too.
Oh, it's just the rat.
What about when they're, like, holding objects?
They can hold objects.
Yeah, and the thing is, they're getting bigger, too.
Of course they are.
They live longer, and they're getting bigger, and they're all over the place. I see them all the time. I don't like it.
And they're impervious to, like, most poisons now.
Yes, they are.
Why do we not care that a rat will die with a cute koala? Like, are we a little bit...
Because, listen, no, because... Like, it's not even racist, it's...
No, the cute animals...
Of course. Know, like, listen, we've just decided that life is more valuable, that's all.
Because it's cuter. Like, a koala bear is very cute, so people get more sad. I mean,
that's
a brilliant
right.
animal.
You can kill an alligator, nobody cares.
You brought this up before, Mike, about...
Of course I have.
The value of cuteness versus...
Mm-hmm. Elena.
But that's with humans, too.
What kind of dog do you find ugly?
Well, there is the world ugliest dog. They have a concept.
Yeah, I know.
I know that.
Ugly animals should die, is what you're saying?
The ugly animals die.
I don't find...
Often.
But we are animals, though. You're saying animals as if they're...
And don't... And exactly.
I don't disagree with
and
that.
And don't we... Are not prejudiced for more attractive humans opposed to others?
So we start killing all the unattractive people?
I mean, yeah. I did an event where people are prejudiced against ones that are more attractive than others once they hit the court date.
All right, Elena, I have a question for you. If you could come back as an animal, what animal would you come back as?
Yes, I read that. I wanted to say a dog, honestly.
What kind of dog? An ugly dog or a cute dog?
Well, a cute dog, of course. But I debated and I thought, well, I would want to be a cat. Only because I would be more desperate to gain their affection.
You'd be more desperate to gain their affection.
I think dogs.
They. Meaning the humans?
The humans, any human that I encountered. I would want them to like me more.
You don't think dogs want to be liked?
I think they're automatically liked.
Interesting. You say that as a long-term dog owner and only a recent cat owner.
Yes. I think dog... No, and then, well, always... Not just owner, but being a dog person that's always been around dogs, they're innately always loved. But I would think, as a cat, I would want to try to please... The people around me more.
Also, you have a very cat-like right. personality.
So, let me ask you a question. How do you reconcile as an animal lover, as a cat lover, as a dog lover, how do you reconcile eating mammals? Cows, chickens.
I'm the first one, that gets to ask that question.
Yeah, how do you reconcile?
Well, I don't, and I think
you don't reconcile.
I don't.
So you just live with the guilt.
I think Mike just said it. I mean, I didn't even think of it that way, but I am more cat-like, I guess, in ways. I can be aloof. I can be loving.
You can eat a mouse because, like,
I can be loving
mammals too,
and I can be endearing, and again, I can be loving, but I also can be aloof, and I can throw you on the street and eat you.
Can you self?
But cats don't eat; they only break.
Yeah, and omnivore.
They kill them.
Can Elena self-domesticate?
So all I can do is kill, but I won't eat.
All right, Mike from Jersey. What animal do you want to come back as?
I think I want to come back as a mandrill.
A mandrill?
Yes. With the exposed... So well, they're large.
They're large and colorful.
And very colorful bottoms.
And, yeah, so you want a pink butt. You want to come
yes,
back as something
100%.
With a pink butt. I understand.
Either that or bonobo.
Chris, what about you? You want to come back as a hairless, butted simian?
I mean, one of those weird-looking red cats.
Oh, no, well, he'd come out as a hairless cat. Yeah.
Well, I would come back as a polar bear.
Really? They're dying.
Yeah. Well, they have that
Chris has been reading his Dark Materials.
Well, then he'll really love Dr. Doolittle because there's a special part for
bear.
You. Yeah,
polar bear is major, gets major
and
play in Dr. Doolittle.
I'm going to say one more thing about that movie. It did touch me, and I can't tell why because
that
Mike
was me,
knows.
That was me, Elena.
No, yeah, you touched me. You always do that. No, there's a character, and it's a squirrel. I'm not going to say any more, but Mike and I really did have a special touching moment because he knows what I think about squirrels, and actually made me think a little differently about the squirrel.
Special touching moment.
Special touching.
That's awesome. But see, the polar bears, I think, you get to hang, sit.
You know,
and eat,
they
and
are
eat.
The meanest bear.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'd like to be. I'd like to be not necessarily mean, but just, I'm going to survive. Well, I want to be a survivor.
It's like, I want to be the meanest bear.
But polar bears also
have...
They have a very solitary existence for the most part.
I think they're more mean than a grizzly, actually. Everybody gives the grizzly a bad rap, but
first of all, grizzlies,
the polar bear is the one.
Grizzlies eat salmon all day. That's a life.
More mean than a grizzly.
Dang.
Yeah, that's a life, eating salmon all day. You got to be pretty healthy.
More mean.
They are. They are.
Yeah.
All right, people are calling. All right, the phone number here is 212-209-2877. Yes. Hello, you're in the air. Oh, we lost him. Okay, what's the phone number here, Leah?
It's 212-209-2877.
2877, that's right. 212-209-2877.
I'm a cat now.
We lost a couple callers there, I think, at once.
Mike, do you want to give out the number for pledging?
No, not unless you want to get the tickets to go see Monster. You can call 212-209-2881 and
you
can say, I want to pledge, but you still have to write me at lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com and so you can get a pair of tickets to the opening night festival. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, you talked about the legal rights of animals and the parallels between slavery. This is actually being litigated now that, you talk about eating animals. You know, the vivisectionists and the cosmetic companies that torture animals by testing them. You know, that's almost like another, at least for food, you could understand, but, if a cosmetic squirted into the eye of a rabbit and it doesn't go blind, it's on the market, that's
Mike, what do you think about the animal lawyers?
Yeah, but that's a big thing now.
Did Mike just run away?
Yeah, he ran away. He's an animal.
He's
let's do it. Let's do call
in. Removed his clothing and he's running through the woods naked.
I'm gonna take a call here and I'm gonna run away.
212-209-2877. Call in. Let us know. We only have 12 minutes left. We need
Hello
to
in the
go.
Air. Hello. Who is this?
A hard encounter, and he's had to turn within. And I guess I sort of wonder, does he seek like a higher synthesis of things, of the chaos, or does he possibly even pray, from the context of the world of chaos where we seem to lose our deep concerns? And
this is when we wish animals could talk to us, and maybe they could call us. 212-209-2877.
I think he's talking about Joker. That's what I think he's talking about.
Yes, Joker. I don't generally see movies these days. My DVD player broke down. I don't get to the theater these days much. But I hear about it, I'm listening to you. Because it really does. So, I read about the Middle East.
He's
going to
give his...
Walter Raleigh, The Tower of London.
His buckwheat review.
I imagine.
Oh, Tower of London, the old one. You like that? The old one with that actor that played Frankenstein.
Sir Walter Raleigh was convicted of treason by Edward Coke in the 16th century after he had attempted the colonization of Roanoke Island, and he was in there for 15 years. He wrote a history of the world. Edward Coke followed him to the Tower of London. When he got out, Raleigh was back. What I'm saying, he's got. guys, I'm thinking, they came out, they actually, Walter Raleigh got out for an expedition again to Orinoco, the Orinoco River. But he returned and was executed. But they got out, and they were ready for more action. So they weren't, like, overly traumatized. They had a sense of purpose about themselves still. They did the things. And I don't know if that necessarily is how well that compares to the Joker's story. You know, he seems to, in a weird way, have to be a man of action, right?
Yeah, Mike can definitely agree with you on that.
Thank you.
Mike? Did you hear what you're saying?
Hello, you're in the air. Hello, you're in the air. Hello? Who's this?
Hello.
Yes, hello.
This is Andre from Jersey City.
Andre from Jersey City. You sound slightly coherent, so how are you, Andre?
I'm good.
So any thoughts on the animals and talking to the animals and what animal you want to come back as?
I think I would like to come back as some kind of predatory bird, hawk or eagle.
Like a hawk. Like a chicken hawk.
I think every time I hear this question, people always pick the animals that we humanize, the dogs, the cats, the cute animals.
That's not humanized, it's domestic. We domesticated. They want to come back as a domesticated
animal. Animals that we make the movies about, and they're very cutesy and all this other stuff. And
So why would you want to be a hawk? Or a predator?
So she could fly down and snatch that fish out of the water.
Fish, rabbit,
right.
Deer.
Fish, whatever. Rabbit, deer, Elena, whatever. I'm with that. You know, I have to say, though, I saw the new King, Lion King, and what was distracting to me was that...
It's a carbon copy of the original.
There's a lot of things that don't make it work. The performances aren't as strong.
I'm
going to give you my quick review here. And what was disturbing or distracting was... You know, in the original Lion King, there are a lot of things, you know, you suspend your disbelief. It's a cartoon. It's a lion. You don't think about, you know, the natural predator that the lion would not be friends with the elk or whatever. You know, that he would eat the elk. You don't think about that. And you also, you don't notice the complete absence of man and these animals having to deal with man encroaching upon them. And you see all these animals running in the wild, and you know it's all digital, and you realize, wow, yeah, we're wiping out rhinos, and yeah, we're these are on the verge of extinction, and oh yeah, this animal, yeah, I just read a horrible thing about what they're doing to this animal. And you realize, or for me, it became really like, wow, yeah, this is a complete fantasy, and I'm taken out of it because of I'm aware of what's happening to animals on the planet. And what humans are doing. So that took away. It was so realistic, you start thinking about the real animals.
Wow.
Anyway, what's the phone number here, Elena, while we have 2 minutes to go?
The amazing thing is it did over $1 billion.
Yeah, it did over $1 billion because, you know, we prefer the fantasy, not what we're doing. If it was documentary and how we're destroying the animal kingdom, nobody go see it. So, you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. The name of the show is Night Shift. We are on every Monday from 10 p.m. to midnight. And we specialize in highlighting how life is like science fiction.
Night.
Especially, Elena.
I am your cat. Hear me roar.
You can visit us on the web at lifeislikesciencefiction.com. We've got shows going back to well over a decade. You can also follow us on Facebook, NITESHIFT. And if you want to get tickets to the adaptation of the Walter Dean Myers book Monster, it's going to be at the New Film Festival at the JCC this Thursday. You can just make a pledge in the name of Night Shift. If you were listening, I had an interview with Tanya Lewis Lee, who is the producer of the film. And the opening night film this Thursday, pair of tickets. Just make any play. pledge, yeah. Any amount.
Any pledge. Where do they email
that? Yeah, buddy. And then email me at lifeislikesciencefiction.com, and
wow.
I'll have your name on the list. And Chris, where can people follow you?
Instagram, Reach Antiques, one word, Reach Antiques on Instagram.
Reach Antiques on Instagram. And Mike from Jersey, where can people follow you?
They can follow me on Twitter for CC at CCUSUK, which is for Channel Crossing, a show about reviewing shows from around the world.
A show about reviewing shows.
A show that reviews shows.
And what about you, Elena? Can people follow you anywhere? I mean,
you can reach me on Twitter on Elena Tater.
Elena Tater. Reach her on Twitter. You can stalk her on Twitter.
Please do.
And you can follow me on, I guess, Instagram or Twitter, Mike on Screen. Until next week, this has been Night Shift.
Night Shift.
Night Shift.